Members of the Bush family, all of you, distinguished members of Congress, governor, ex-governors, the men and women of the United States Navy, military veterans, the workers who helped build this great ship, I know you join me in saying to our father, President Bush, your ship has come in. In a few minutes, my sister Dorothy will christen the newest and most advanced aircraft carrier in the Navy, the George H.W. Bush. For the pilots of the World War II generation who are with us today, this carrier may seem a little more inviting than the ones you landed on. As you can see, our Navy has made a few upgrades. George H.W. Bush is the latest in the Nimitz line of aircraft carriers. She is unrelenting, she is unshakable, she is unyielding, she is unstoppable. As a matter of fact, probably should have been named the Barbara Bush. With a long and honored tradition, we gather to christen this fine ship. We recall the service and sacrifice of earlier generations, and we pay tribute to a new generation of sailors and Marines who step forward to serve in freedom's cause. George H.W. Bush is named for a man who exemplifies the great character of our country. On the day Pearl Harbor was attacked, George H.W. Bush was a teenager. He was a high school senior. 6 months later, he was sworn into the Navy. A year later, he received his wings at a ceremony in Corpus Christi, Texas. Here's what he said. He said, "I had an ensign stripe and an admiral's confidence. I was a Navy pilot." Our dad would become known as one of the Navy's youngest pilots. But that wasn't his only distinction. While training along the Chesapeake Bay, the pilots in our dad's flight class learned about a beach across the way where young ladies like to sunbathe. It became popular for the pilots to fly low over the beach. So one day, he came in low to take a look. It just so happened to be the same day the traveling circus had set up its tents. Dad's flyover upset an elephant, causing him to break loose and make a run throughout the town. He was called in for a reprimand from his commander. He puts it this way, "I was grounded for causing an elephant stampede." Probably the only Navy pilot in American history who can make that claim. After training, he was assigned to a light carrier. He took part in the Great Turkey Shoot of the Marianas. He knew the horror of kamikaze attacks. He would complete 58 combat missions. These were tough days. But he had something that kept him going, and if you look closely at the photographs of the planes he flew, you will find what kept him going and the name he had painted under his cockpit, Barbara. One of Dad's most important missions was a strike on a radio tower on an island called Chichijima. Japanese were using that tower to intercept U.S. military radio transmissions and alert the enemy about impending American airstrikes. September 2, 1944, his squadron was given a simple assignment to take it out. Pilots knew they would face heavy enemy fire because the Japanese had fortified the island. But Dad and his fellow pilots did their duty without complaint or hesitation. During that raid, his plane was hit by anti-aircraft artillery and it caught on fire. Yet he kept his plane on course, he released his four bombs and scored four direct hits on that tower. Yet he headed out to sea, he ejected. Japanese boats were sent out to capture him. After more than two harrowing hours at sea alone in a rubber life raft, he was rescued by the crew of the USS Finback. For his action, he earned the Distinguished Flying Cross. Yet it is characteristic that from those moments aboard his life raft to this ceremony today, Dad's thoughts have always been of the two fine members of his crew who did not make it home. Radio man Second Class John Delaney and Lieutenant J.G. Ted White. On that day over Chichijima, a young American became a war hero and learned an old lesson. With the defense of freedom comes loss and sacrifice. George H.W. Bush honors a generation that valued service above self. Like so many who served in World War II, duty came naturally to our father. In the 4 years of that war, 16 million Americans would put on the uniform. And the human costs were appalling. From the beaches of Normandy to the jungles of Southeast Asia, more than 400,000 Americans would give their lives. From the beginning of that war, there were those who argued that freedom had seen its day and that the future belonged to the hard men in Tokyo and Berlin. Yet the war machines of Imperial Japan and Nazi Germany would be brought down by American GIs who only months before had been students and farmers and bank clerks and factory hands. The generation of World War II taught the world's tyrants a telling lesson. There is no power like the power of freedom, and no soldier as strong as a soldier who fights for a free future for his children. The George H.W. Bush will serve as a new generation of Americans, every bit as brave, as selfless as those who've come before him. 21st century, freedom is again under attack. And young Americans are volunteering to answer the call. In the years since September the 11th, 2001, more than 1.6 million Americans have volunteered to wear the uniform of the United States. Today, they serve in distant lands and on far seas, from the islands of Southeast Asia to the Horn of Africa to the mountains of Afghanistan and in Iraq. And once again, with perseverance and courage and confidence in the power of freedom, a new generation of Americans will leave a more hopeful and peaceful world for generations to come. The men and women of the United States military represent the best of America, and they deserve the best America can give them. And the George H.W. Bush is the best America can give them. During his time in the South Pacific, Ensign Bush served on a light carrier called the USS San Jacinto. That ship was named for the 1836 Battle of San Jacinto. And in that battle, the Free Texas Forces, led by Sam Houston, defeated a Mexican army that was much larger in size. And Sam Houston succeeded in capturing the Mexican general responsible for the slaughter of the Alamo just a few weeks before. Yet on the eve of the battle, the outcome was far from certain, and the Mexicans seemed to hold the advantage. So Sam Houston called his Texans together, and he reminded them what they were fighting for. He told them, "Be men, be free men, that your children may bless their father's name." On this proud day, the children of George H.W. Bush blessed their father's name. The United States Navy honors his name. And the ship that bears his name sails into this young century as a symbol of American strength and freedom. May God watch over all those who sail this ship, all those who fly from their deck, and all those at home who pray for their safe return. My honor to bring to you the 41st president, a great dad, George H.W. Bush.
very much. Thank all of you. Mr. President, thank you, sir, for that very kind, wonderfully generous introduction. And to say that I'm pleased to be here is a classic understatement of the year. This is any naval aviator's dream come true. I first want to salute every single shipbuilder who has pitched in to make this vessel what you see today and which will finish it off in time for commissioning in 2008. This is magnificent, and these shipbuilders are the best that the United States could possibly have, and I salute every single one of you. I'd say this is the happiest day of my life, but I remember saying that after both Jeb and George were elected governor on the same day. I was flying home to Houston from Florida, and I said to Barbara, this is the happiest day in my life. And she said, what about the day we're married? I said, that was a nice day too. So anyway, I would simply have to say that this is maybe the third happiest day of my life. But there's much to be added to what's been said. I salute every platform guest here and all of you. I thank all of you, my friends who came from all around the world, my former cabinet members, the people who counseled me when we had to go into battle back in the 90s. And all in all, it's a great day in my life. The United States Navy made a man, or started to make a man, out of a very scared 18-year-old kid. But I got to set the record straight, because Tom Brokaw wrote a magnificent book talking about World War II guys as the greatest generation. In my humble view, we were no greater than the kids that serve today. All volunteer, all fighting. We're very proud of those who are serving. After our nation was attacked at Pearl Harbor, you simply couldn't find anyone who wasn't anxious to sign up. And like so many Americans, Barbara, that you've heard much about today, became a riveter there at the Russell, Butzel, and Ward Nut Company in Port Chester, New York. She was good. The point is, our nation was, that's true. The point is that our nation was totally united against the insidious totalitarian threat against freedom. And what had been a sleepy mercantile nation suddenly became a major industrial producer of needed armaments, the arsenal of democracy, as FDR called it. And like millions, I worked my way through basic training, and I went to war flying off the 71.5-foot wide deck on the converted cruiser USS San Jacinto. I had the name of Barbara. You're allowed to do it in those days. I don't know whether the Navy lets it now. But written on the side of my Grumman torpedo bomber. As an officer, I remember I had to read the outgoing mail. We had to censor the mail of all the shipmates. And I learned a lot from that. I learned a lot about human nature. I learned a lot about the hearts and dreams of these kids. And I would see these letters written, and I'd count my own blessings. Thank goodness, in a practical sense, I was flying that slow and steady TBF, the easiest plane to fly if you had to land on a carrier. And the deck was 70 foot wide compared to this. You can't picture it. It was not the easiest target to hit in rough seas. So I've always been grateful to Grumman, which has been a part of this outfit, for this marvelous plane. Once I was waved off. I couldn't land. The guy, landing signal officer, waved me off, and I had to go around. I landed up in front of the fleet with four 500-pound depth charges in the bottom of the plane, and I was hoping the damn things wouldn't go off, I'll tell you. But thankfully, the 80 aircraft and airmen who fly off these decks will hopefully have more room to hit the deck of the CVN-77 with its 4.5-acre landing field. On September 2nd, my plane did get shot down, as the President said. President Kennedy was asked how he became a war hero. He said, they sank my boat. Well, I became a war hero. They shot my plane down. A lot of guys were better, didn't get shot down, and they didn't become heroes. I don't understand it. I've never considered myself a hero anyway. But I'm very glad that four of my pilots with whom I flew in Air Group 41 are here. Jack Guy, who won the Navy Cross. Stan Butchard is here. Lou Grab from California. And Blackie Adams, a fighter pilot from Idaho. They all came here for this. It's been 62 years since those traumatic days in the Pacific, but it's also been 61 years since a blessed union with a wonderful woman and all the blessings and everything else that has followed. I am very proud of our president. I support him in every single way with every fiber in my body. It seems surreal that you could go from being a young naval aviator, then surviving a horrible war, then losing an innocent child and having some modest success in business, then rising through the killing fields of national politics to be president. And after four thoroughly challenging years as president, it would be even more improbable to see your own two sons rise to become a respected national leaders. They see nothing of the private success of our three other kids. I am truly blessed as a dad. And so today, speaking strictly as parents, for Barbara and me, our cup runneth over. The Darro is the sponsor of this ship. I just can't tell you what pride I have in that and how much joy that gives to me. I can't wait to see this remarkable state-of-the-art vessel go to sea. And when it does, I want to get permission from the Commander-in-Chief to be on board. I'm finishing, Lord. I'm finishing. Don't worry about it. Whatever happens, I hope the American people accept my deepest gratitude for the chance to serve this nation and an honor that touches deep in my heart. Thank you very, very much.